Florida, heaven and earth. Surround us in your love and care and protection. Grant us your Holy Spirit this day, that we may follow your will in all things. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
When the conversation began about our partnership with the Diocese of Amazonia, there was some doubts about how that might work. And now that we have that partnership established and that we are in relationship with that diocese, we've had opportunities for people to go back and forth and learn more about each other, grow more, learn more, grow more, understand more, experience more. That's what happens when you have doubts. You learn more, you experience more, you grow more, you pray together, you spend time in learning environments. And so this year at Diocesan Council, they will reaffirm our relationship. And at Synod, we will reaffirm our relationship with the Diocese of Amazonia. And it's my understanding that our diocesan bishop, as well as the bishop of Amazonia, will be at the youth conference on May 24th, 25th, 26th at Huron Church Camp. Kind of cool, eh?
Yeah.
I think the relationship with Amazonia is incredible, and I always appreciate when somebody calls me directly and asks me about it, because that way I can do the digging when I don't know what's going on and provide that information for you and across this deanery. When I was in grade 8, a teacher that I'm going to give you the name, date, and address of in a minute called my parents in to explain to them that they may not have had me tested yet, but it was clear that I had major issues. I wasn't very bright, quote unquote. He's never going to make it, quote unquote. He's not going to amount to very much, and you might want to get used to that, quote unquote. And at the age of 54, I remember, quote unquote. So let me give you his address. I guess there was the assumption, the way the language was used, that my parents weren't very educated and weren't very bright. So my mother, the social worker and trained teacher, wasn't impressed. And my father, the politician speechwriter for Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, Bill Davis, and that doesn't mean I'm conservative, chill. And you'll never know, neither. Here's the reality. They came home with a certain attitude towards me. You're going to learn, boy. And I remember the quote. You're going to learn, boy. So this is what I learned. When you have doubts, when you have fears, when you have anxieties, when you actually have disabilities, when you have learning disabilities, the reality is that it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's not the finish line. It's the starting line. They sent me for the psychological tests first, and I decided in my little poverty-stricken mind that this guy was going to retire early. He started showing me ink blots. You remember those?
Yeah.
Son, what do you see? I said, I see you're bad with your pen. Handed me a set of dolls. Remember this? Oh, man. Picked up G.I. Joe and Barbie and said, run, girl, run. Should have seen the assessment. And now the Reverend Dr. Stephen Hendry wants to go visit said teacher. But I'd go to prison. So let me flip it. Let me tell you about the best teacher I ever had in my life. And I'm going to name him Chris Lee. He would sit with me and he'd go, "You don't learn the same as everybody else, do you, son?" "No, sir, I don't." He said, "We're going to memorize the map on the other side of this piece of paper because it's on the exam." He said, "Can you learn it? Can you memorize it?" He said, "Did you understand memorizing still works?" And he began to draw the map and put all the locations for the whole country and then all the capital cities. And then he put in small print what you have on the outside sign of every town or city, their populations. And he said, "You're going to memorize this. And I'm going to work with you until you've memorized it. And we're going to work together for the next 2 weeks because you have doubts and you have fears and you have anxieties, and I'm going to help you with that." I've had some amazing teachers in my life. Phenomenal teachers in grade school, high school, and university. And since I did 14 years of university, that's a lot of teachers who far outweighed one or two that were misguided. You see, I have come to believe, and this will be a political statement, that teachers are called and ordained, not graduated and employed. I believe it is a call to a ministry with children. What you do with that politically is up to you. But I'd make that statement on any camera, and I just might be planning to do so. You're known as a social action congregation. Did you know that? Social justice and social action. Wherever I go, they say, "What are your people doing now?" I get excited by that. As long as it's in the name of Jesus, with sincerity and authenticity. When they say your congregation is known for its outreach and its missions, I think that's awesome when it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to the gospel today, if you don't mind, because there's so many exciting things we want to be able to do together today, and I need to get you out of here by supper. So, let's go to the gospel. The disciples come together several times, and they meet Jesus, and they get a chance, and he commissions them. He gives them jobs and tasks. Then he gets real up close and personal, and he blows into their face. Did you catch that? And says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is spiritual resuscitation. Did you get it? But Thomas isn't there. And we all want to pick on Thomas, but here's the thing. What if he was out grocery shopping for the whole group? What if he's on a pizza run? What's the possibility he's doing a task or a chore that the rest of the group didn't want to do, so he's not in the room? So he doesn't get the experience of Jesus. So next time around, Thomas is in the room, and the disciples gather around. They say, "We saw him, we heard him, we felt him, we experienced him." And Thomas says, and I may be translating a little, "No. Unless I see him, unless I hear him, unless I feel him, unless I can smell his presence, I'm not going to believe anything you guys say." Nothing. And Jesus shows up, and you would imagine from some of your backgrounds that the Jesus of some traditions would be, "Mirror boy, let me explain it to you in a way you'll remember." But that's not our Jesus. That is not our Jesus. Our Jesus says, "Thomas, come here. Come here. get close. No, 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 closer. No, closer. You need to be so close that you can reach in to my side. That's close. You need to be so close that when I breathe the Holy Spirit into you, you'll feel it inside out. Wow. You need to be able to reach out and grab my hands. That's the Jesus we believe in. When we have doubts, when we have fears, when we have anxiety, when we're not sure where to go next, whether it's a physical challenge or emotional challenge, a psychological challenge, or a spiritual one, we want a Jesus that says, come close. Let's talk about this. Let's work together on this. When it's the roughest, it's when he shows up the boldest. And if you've been to the bottom of the pit, you know he meets you there. And he doesn't care how educated you are, and he doesn't care what your job level is. He meets you where you are and invites you to grow. So Thomas is standing there, and he's got options. He knows what Jesus is saying in a bigger way is, Thomas, I need you to learn more, grow more, change more. Be ready for new experiences. Thomas walked into the room with his feet planted on the ground. I ain't going nowhere for nobody for nothing. And Jesus says, come closer. Come closer. And Thomas' response is, my Lord and my God. He acknowledges him to be the Messiah. So understanding that, what's the big deal about Thomas? I mean, it's been 2,000 years, and we're still debating why Tom's a bad dude. Let me put it another way that grade 8 teacher would appreciate. We would like to explore the deficiencies of his intellectual, emotional, and psychological capacities in regards, notwithstanding, what really happened? And that's a doctoral statement. What we really need is Jesus. What we really need to know is know him more, understand him more, experience him more, be in his presence more, whether it is in our private Bible reading or in public worship, whether it's in a Bible study or singing in a choir, whether it's attending books, tapes, seminar, whatever works for you to know God more so that you understand him better. That's what it's about. So why were the disciples so upset? Well, you didn't trust us. You didn't respect us. We told you the way it was, and you said, do you know what this means? My teenagers were always good at this because they knew better than to swear to my face. So they would do this. You know what that means? I mean, that's all of George Carlin's favorite words wrapped up into one. I remember it well. One or two of them still uses it. What happened for Thomas was life-changing, transformational. It was an experience. And if you are really blessed, it'll happen once. And if you are tremendously blessed, it'll happen twice. And if you are soaked in the Spirit, it'll happen many times. And in a minute, it's going to happen to you. And the reality is this, when we open ourselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit, just about anything can happen. Any insight can happen. You can even take a kid that's really not bright and put a doctoral hood over his head. You can really take somebody lying in a hospital that's not sure about the future and release them a week later. You can take children who have challenges and help them to learn and grow in new ways that connect with how their brain and heart and soul works. The key is to never give up. You see, Thomas never gave up. He just needed more information. He just needed more evidence. Blessed are those who have doubts, because they'll want more information. Blessed are those who have doubts, because they'll stay curious. Blessed are those who have doubts, because they'll never give up learning more. Blessed are those who have doubts, because they can anticipate Jesus getting really close. Really close. And saying, let me walk with you. Let me walk with you. So if you have doubts this morning, if you have doubts about your faith, doubts about your marriage, doubts about your parents, doubts about your grandparents, doubts about your friends, doubts about your job, doubts, don't get scared. It's okay. You're okay. Learn more. Learn more. Get more answers. Investigate new possibilities. Never, ever give up. Got a text last night from one of the most important people in my life, my brother. I adore this guy. Didn't start out that way. But I adore this guy. I quit my job. Now, he played it safe. I mean, after all, he is a Hendry. He's had another business going for close to 8 years. But it is a leap of faith with many doubts to jump for something that felt guaranteed and miserable to new possibilities and new experiences. And I'm so proud of him. He needed to make that decision for his own health. And I'm so proud of him for living boldly in the midst of his doubts and his fears and his anxieties. Live with courage to have doubts. Amen.